for Lyman Ag Supply in Lyman, Iowa, and the Family Vision Center in greater downtown Atlantic. This is Bob Evensee, along with our conservation officer for Cass and Adair Counties on this morning's Conservation Report. Thought I forgot your name, didn't you, Brian?
I did for a minute there. The way the morning was going, I wasn't sure.
We got a lot to talk about today. We got to talk about something I just learned this morning, a new term involved in lake management, and the DNR says they have plans to begin dewatering Three Mile Lake. That's got a lot more class than draining.
Yes, I've heard of deflowering, but I've dewatering's a new one.
Dewatering the lake. I like that. They're going to start taking it down here in the last part of August, and it'll be restocked later on. But they're going to kill off a bunch of stuff and to get rid of the trash fish. Okay. The rules and regulation books are out along with the season cards, so they're available from county recorders and various other people.
Yeah, it should be any place that sells hunting, fishing, trapping licenses should have those regulations available to them. We have them at the district office at Cold Springs, south of Lewis, and they should have them at, like I said, everywhere they sell licenses.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any no bid changes, I guess. We won't get into individual seasons yet, but nothing...
The apprentice license that we've talked about in the past, but that's probably the biggest change is that new apprentice license, and we can talk about that as the major seasons draw closer. But that.
Okay, so those are available, and it's kind of a good book to read. I know I used to keep one in the glove compartment, and when my hunting buddy was going in asking permission on his turn, I would start reading that, and you'd say, well, after 10 years, lo and behold, look at that. I didn't know that at all, so that's something to pay attention to. Okay, what people are really interested in is how is the roadside survey going? Are any results put together yet?
No, nothing. That data hasn't been put together and crunched and released. You know, again, anecdotal is that depending on the area, numbers are up. Some areas are up more than others, but it's looking fairly promising, although I'm not going to, you know, say that it's going to be a night and day difference from what we've seen in the past. But hearing some good reports on some quail, some additional quail out there. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the bright spots.
That's always good news. And it seems like everybody around us, well, I don't know about Missouri because I don't know what their situation is down there, but Nebraska is showing, they're claiming pretty good upticks in pheasant and particularly quail. South Dakota said they've got theirs kind of coming back. And Minnesota says that they're a good pheasant hunting territory. Of course, everybody gets on the bandwagon and you got to kind of sort the wheat from the chaff. But everybody's kind of working toward it and getting serious about trying to maintain these populations.
They are. I was just at a four-state meeting in northwest Missouri just this last week, and Kansas had he's a captain down there. I don't know how old the guy was, but he's older, or at least as old as myself, and he said quail numbers are probably the best he's seen in his lifetime. So, you know, he's got to be pushing 50 years old. So that's a promising.
Yes, it is.
That's promising. In fact, I'm going to maybe look into going down there and seeing if I can hunt some quail myself this fall. So, yeah. So you're right. Everybody around us is showing some uptick in numbers.
Mm-hmm. The field trialers down here will love it because they can start running more on wild birds rather than turning loose the liberated ones. So that makes a much better hunt. And they have a lot of ground you can get onto. Also, like we do now in Iowa, you got some access, so that makes a difference.
Yes, we've got those new walk-in hunting areas, and as of the program today, we've got about 25,700 acres of walk-in hunting areas. So a lot of areas over the local biologist here out of Atlantic. In fact, Brian Hickman has done an outstanding job in getting a lot of private acres enrolled in that walk-in hunting access, especially over along the Missouri River. But in all of southwest Iowa, but there was just a large number of acres up along Harrison County along the Missouri River in the floodplain there that folks have enrolled in that. So very promising, very promising.
People find out about those areas on the network, I suppose?
They can. They can go to the website and find those and contact their local biologist or their local county or their local conservation officer. We can all help out with those areas.
Let's talk about a couple seasons coming up. We're getting into it. This is the time of year when there's all kinds of people like this cooler weather. The hunters definitely love it, and the people that like nothing better than the sound of snowblowers in the morning, they like cooler weather coming on. But let's talk about the first thing to come up is the dove season. That opens pretty shortly.
Yes, September 1, opening day for that. So it's going to be right on top of us before we know it. You know, that you talked about the cooler weather with both the dove opener and the teal opener. We all hope it doesn't get too cool before those dates come around, or those birds could, you know, blow right on through. In fact, I've fielded some phone calls about folks wondering if I've seen any teal or doves moving through already, afraid that these cooler than normal temperatures might drive those birds south early. So we'll hope it doesn't get too cool, but yes, it should be. I've seen a lot of doves around throughout the year, and so it should be a good season.
You bet. We can have it cool down, get them out of Minnesota, and then warm back up, and they'll hang around around for us.
I like the way you think.
Doves are funny. They don't like cold weather, but then there'll be some stay around all winter.
I know. I think it's those birds from up north just shift a little further south. Our birds shift further south, and we get some of those northern birds that they come a little bit south and find that compared to what they're used to, our temperatures our climate's a little more temperate.
Yeah. Same works the same with the Canada goose. They do about the same thing. Okay, let's talk about the teal season.
Yeah, that's
comes up pretty shortly.
Coming right up again, September 3rd. We're in our third year of that experimental teal season. A couple of things I want the public to know about on that. Keep in mind that during that teal season, there's a couple of changes outside of your standard duck seasons. That teal season, shooting hours are sunrise to sunset, not a half an hour before, but sunrise. And the reason for that is that additional light will hopefully make identification easier, because the second thing to that is teal are the only legal game during that duck season. So two things that people really need to be aware of. Two most common violations that officers observe and cite is early shooting and take of a bird out of season, and generally a lot of times it's wood ducks that they end up taking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're so pretty early to be down here too. That half hour before sunrise, a duck is a duck. You don't really know for sure.
Right.
What that thing is, you can't tell size or anything, so it does make a difference.
Yes.
That's opening up on the 3rd. What are the limits like?
On the dove season, it's 15 doves per day, and on the teal season, it's six.
Mm-hmm.
So
pretty liberal.
Pretty liberal, yes. And if you can, I don't know how, I've never personally hunted doves, but from what I understand, if you get a limit of 15 doves, I don't know how many boxes of shells you had to take in with you. So, and that brings up another reminder for folks to make sure that they haul out their especially their spent shells, you know, dove shooting, because of the amount of shooting opportunities and because your success rate on those isn't as high as a lot of other species, that can produce a lot of litter out there in the field, you know, a pile of shells if you're sitting in one spot shooting, you know, 25 or 50 rounds. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we'd ask that you pick up those empties and haul them out with you.
You bet. The hunter's been doing a pretty good job. I haven't heard the term slob hunter for quite a long while. It used to be real bad because every gateway going into a farm would have shell boxes and lunch boxes and all kinds of stuff around. But they've been doing a better job, so keep it up. Keep it up.
I think social attitudes towards litter and picking up after yourself, I think those things are changing. And so, yes, I would say exactly that. Keep it up, folks.
You bet. Lou Lemke, who used to be a game warden back before you were born, probably, always said that he'd love to take somebody to Missouri to dove hunt, and he would bet them a lunch or something that they could take a box of shells and not kill five doves. And he said, I would win just about all the time. They're pretty fancy flyers.
That's what I've heard, and that's what I've seen from what I've observed anyway.
Okay. Let's get into the woods a little deeper. Deer licenses are on sale. Started out the 15th of August, so they're available with some limits.
Yes, August 15th, deer licenses went on sale. A couple of things to keep in mind, at least early on here, is those early muzzleloader, there's a quota of 7,500 licenses on those. They do tend to go fairly quickly, so if you're wanting one of those and you haven't already got one, you better get in there and get one purchased. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, I've had at least one call, individual's a little frustrated that he wanted to buy multiple antlerless tags, and he couldn't, so he called. He was a little upset that we were only allowing them to buy, well, they can only buy one antlerless tag until September 15th. Once September 15th rolls around, then you can buy as many antlerless tags as you want to purchase or until the quota for that county fills. Mm-hmm. So the reason for that is so that one person can't go in on at midnight on August 15th and say, for example, in, let's take Crawford County. They've got 150 deer antlerless licenses. That's all they have for the county. Theoretically, one person, or back when Audubon County only had 100 tags, one person could go in and buy all of those on August 15th at midnight, and no one else would get any antlerless tags throughout the whole county. So trying to spread those licenses out, allow more people an opportunity to purchase at least one antlerless only tag before we allow people to buy multiple. So that's the reason behind it.
That sounds like that'd give a great temptation to be a retailer of licenses to do commonly known as scalping.
Yeah. Well, believe it or not, I have, this was when I, well, not only Northeast Iowa, but here in Southwest Iowa, I've checked deer hunters with anywhere from 35 to 100 antlerless tags on them that really? They had purchased. Yes, I literally have. So it's not unheard of. It happens. So and those tags were all purchased legally. They were purchased mm-hmm. after the date, and the quotas had filled, and so they could buy as many as they wanted. And so they were completely legal. But you laugh, say, well, who's going to buy 100 tags? There are people out there that do.
If you snooze, you lose.
That's right.
Okay, we've got to talk about an important thing as far as boat registration is concerned, particularly the guys that are buying a used boat or a new boat for that matter. You've got to have some paperwork with that in order to get registered.
Correct. A new boat shouldn't be so much of an issue because any licensed, permitted boat dealer should be providing you the documentation, the manufacturer's certificate of origin, or MCO, MSO, depending on who you talk to. But where we're really running into issues is folks are buying used boats, and they get no paperwork with them. Maybe if they're lucky, the seller gives them a bill of sale, and then they come to me and they want to be able, or they go to the county recorder and want to be able to register them. And the problem is if those, and so there's a say you buy from Bill Smith, your neighbor, and he's had a boat on a farm pond, private farm pond, for 50 years. That boat's never been registered. It's never been titled. There's a process that you can go through to have that inspected by a conservation officer or any peace officer, signed off on, and you can take that in and get the boat registered. The rub is where people are buying boats that have previously been registered and or titled, whether it's anywhere, whether it's in Iowa or any state in the nation, that's a different process, and if you don't get any paperwork with those, you have to go through the bonding process, which can be, depending on the value of the boat, it can be expensive, it can be very time-consuming, and a lot of hoops to jump through. So I strongly encourage people, if you've got an opportunity to buy a boat, and it's been registered previously somewhere, anywhere, doesn't matter, and they can't provide you any paperwork, I don't care how cheap it is, it's not a good buy. So I can't stress that strongly enough. I've experienced a number of those lately, and so be careful on those that you're buying off of Craigslist or eBay and they're not coming with any paperwork.
A lot of good things going on in the great outdoors. September, October, November, beautiful times of year to be out and around. For Lyman Ag Supply in Lyman and the Family Vision Center in downtown Atlantic, it's been Bob Evensy along with Brian Smith, the conservation officer for Cass and Adair Counties on this morning's Conservation Report.